had written to the Roman church in what we call an expository teaching. That means that we take it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Amen? So we find ourselves in the book of Romans, chapter 8, where Paul is now coming to a climax of this entire chapter. I think we've been in this one chapter for about 4 or 5 weeks, actually. You know, we like to take our time. Amen. You know, so, you know, sometimes you read through the word too fast and you miss some little nuggets of information that could change your life and transform your destiny. So we don't want to miss any of those nuggets of information. So we just want to take our time. Somebody say, take your time, Pastor Chuck. But don't take too much time because we got things to do. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 32. I told you all to turn there, and I forgot to turn there myself. But it's just a quick hop, skip, and a jump. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says that, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, look at your neighbor and say, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Listen, I pray that you have that in your Bible highlighted, underlined. You want to put an arrow next to it, whatever you need to do to remember that verse, because it's a very powerful verse for the child of God. It said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? How shall he not with him also give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, who is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or if you left your shoes this morning, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things, is another one of those underlined moments, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want to speak to you today from the title of God's Everlasting Love. God's Everlasting Love. The 3 points we're going to make today in the spirit of St. Valentine, which we'll be celebrating in a few short days. Brothers, I hope you got your chocolate and candy all together for your sweet honey or whatever you call her, your bae or boo-boo or whatever you call it. Make sure you get the chocolate and all those things. And if you don't have her, just bring her to church on Sunday morning, because we have a tradition of blessing our women on Valentine's Day with flowers and candies and all those good things. So if you don't have it in the budget, just say, baby, I'm going to take you to church, and then I got something for you special. And we're going to let us take care of it real good. See, we like to have all base covered. I don't like to leave the brothers hanging. The brothers surprised me this morning when Sister Sharon was talking about pouring gas and burning stuff up, and the brothers was clapping. I said, wait a minute, brothers. We don't want that. What's wrong with these brothers? We're going to have a lot to talk about in our next fellowship, brother, because you ain't supposed to clap on that. You know? So in the spirit of St. Valentine, I want to pose to you 3 propositions. The propositions of the day are, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me. Those are the three points we're going to make tonight. The first I want to say, he loves me. The Bible says in the book of Romans here, Paul is transitioning from a few thoughts. And I just want to set the stage so that we're all on proper balance as we move forward in the scripture. Paul has already declared to us that through Jesus Christ, we have been adopted into the family of God, meaning that we have now been placed outside of our old family into a brand new family. And we have not given the spirit of fear, but we've been given the spirit of adoption. In adoption, the word actually means for a son to be placed into a new family. So much so that when the son is placed into the new family, he becomes a part of that family as if he had already been a part of the family. In other words, he's not a stepson. In other words, he gets the same privileges that the natural children receive. Are you following me? He said we have an inheritance through Jesus Christ. So he's a son. So we're counted as sons. That means we've been transformed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And since we are now sons or daughters, we are then have heirs. But then he goes on to say, we are heirs, and we have an heirs means we have an inheritance. That means what the father has, the son has. Anything that belongs to the father also belongs to the son, or in this case, the son or the daughter. Amen. So anything the father has, then the son has. But he goes on to say, he wants to point out some things, that this thing is not all hunky-dory. He points out some things to say, it's not all shiny days and bright and sunny skies once you get transformed into the kingdom of light. In fact, it actually gets worse. He says, for the sufferings of this day are not able to be compared to the glory of the latter day. Look at your neighbor and say, your latter will be greater. So he says, now that you're in the family, then you suffer like the family. So when the lights go off, everybody's in the dark. You part of, welcome to the family. You understand? So we're all in the family. So we're all in the family. And since we're in the family, then whatever the Father experiences, in this case, Jesus Christ, whatever Jesus experiences, then you should expect to experience. Because Jesus himself said, if they hated you, don't trip. Because they hated me first. And they should hate you. If you reflect me, they should hate you a little bit. Everybody shouldn't be your friend when you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Not everybody should want to hang around you. If you're too easy to hang around for sinners, then you may be doing something wrong. Everybody run around, well, they hating on me. Sometimes they're hating on you, say they're hating on you, but they ain't really hating on you. Sometimes they're just telling you a truth you're not prepared to deal with. So you got those kind of haters, you know, yeah, they hating on me. No, brother, you need to get your butt in school. That's not hating, that's love. They're just telling you the truth. You need to take care of that situation. That's not hate. They hating on me. But Jesus said, he was talking about another kind of hate. He said, they hated me for no good reason. I fed them, took them down to Mickey D's, got them a number 16. They wasn't happy. You know what number 16 at Mickey D's is? That's the Filet-O-Fish meal, Sister Cheryl. I know. You guys get it, the fishes and the loaves, that's a number 16. He said, I even supersized it. I supersized it so much that they had to bring out baskets. And I told them to take some leftovers. Then when the last time McDonald's gave you leftovers? See, like Filet-O-Fish getting smaller and smaller. He said, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I've been through that already. I've been through it so that when you go through it, you will have a reference point. See, somebody we had to understand, and shout out to Sister Angela, who's going to be releasing her film on this Thursday, her film, documentary film. For those who you don't know, Sister Angela lost her two sons in a car accident some years ago, and she wrote a book about it. She turned her pain into purpose. You understand? And what she went through, now she's able to minister to a whole lot of folks that happen to go through the same thing. You understand? See, you need folks that have been through what you've been through to help you get through what you're going through. And you don't understand it when you're going through it, but you understand it afterwards that, oh, this pain had a purpose, had a plan. So her pain had a book, and now her pain has a documentary film that we're going to have a red carpet premiere for her. So we're praying for her and the success of it, that it will just go worldwide so that people will be ministered from her pain. See, we don't understand it when we're going through it, Sister Francis. We don't get it. God said, just keep on going through it. You're going through hell, just don't stop. Just keep on going through. Keep on walking. No selfies. No, you don't have to put no Instagram, anything like that where you're in hell. Just keep on walking through. Eventually, if you keep walking, you're going to get to the end of that thing. And when you get to that end of that thing, I'll meet you there. And then we can look back on it and see how far I brought you from. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Oh, yes, yes, I understand what I said. So Paul is saying here, he's looking in the scripture, and he says, what then shall we say about these things? What then shall we say that now we are sons, now that we are adopted? What does all of this mean? And then he goes on to talk about how we are the very elect. And we talked about the difference between predestination and what we call election. Did God choose certain people to be saved and certain people not to be saved? Well, that would kind of, to me, that kind of spoils the whole point, because why would he call us to witness to people that he didn't plan on saving? You understand? So that just doesn't seem like the heart of God to me to say, well, I chose people before they even had a chance to choose me. He said, I chose everybody. Because the Bible said in 2 Peter, it says, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Are you following? He tells Timothy the same thing, that all men, preach these things, so that all men should be saved. So God wants everybody to be saved. So it's not a matter of whether he chose us, it's a matter of whether we choose him. You understand what I'm saying? See, it's not whether he chose us. He chose us from before the foundation of the world. Before any of this stuff even existed, he already chose you. But he knew you was going to mess up, so he had to provide himself, his son, so that you could be redeemed. Now, do you choose him is the question. So here we are when Paul has extrapolated these things, and now he's saying, what shall we say now? And I love the book of Romans. Paul just keeps on going back to these rhetorical questions. The rhetorical question is the one you don't really expect an answer to. You're just trying to get a person in the right line of thinking so that you can finish the thought that you're trying to make. Are you following? So he says, what then shall we say now? He said, if God be for us, who should be against us? Listen, after we've gone through the suffering, we realize that God is for us. He's not against us. And he's showing up is for us. You know how much he is for us. He goes on in the passage. He said, because Christ died, what? For us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Listen, I don't know. Are you in the world? I'm a part of the world. You're part of the world. Listen, is Nicki Minaj a part of the world? Yes. Did he die for her too? Yep. Sure did. Did Jehovah is part of the world? Did he die for him? Yes, he did. You understand? So don't get caught up and think that you're special. He died for them too. So he goes on to say, he said, he loves us. He chose us and he's for us. He said, he proves his commitment to us that he gave himself for us. Oh, my. He proves his love for us. See, when you love somebody, who is that? Freddie Jackson said, have you ever loved somebody the way you love somebody? When somebody loves you, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like that. You like that, brother? Yeah. How do they prove their love? They prove their love when they give you something. They give you their love. They don't just say, baby, I love you, but never show you. They actually have to show you that they love you in order to prove it. You can't say, yeah, I love you, but I never give you anything. I never take you anywhere. I never talk to you, never communicate with you. I don't text you. I don't Facebook you. I don't do anything, but yeah, I love you. That's that convenient type of love, Sister Diana. You know, the brothers play that game. You know, I love you at 2 in the morning. But at 2 in the afternoon, right now, watch out now. He said, look, he proves his love by giving himself to us. You do realize that when he gave us Jesus Christ, he was basically giving us himself. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, Emmanuel, and dwelt among us. So God himself put on this nasty body and came to live with us. And he said, listen, I want you to call his name Mary. You call his name Jesus, I mean, the Lord is salvation. And then I want you to call his name Emmanuel, the Lord is with us. That means that God said, I got to get with you in order to save you. I have to become you. I have to put myself in your shoes. I have to put yourself in your skin. I have to put myself in your flesh. I have to become you. I have to experience what you experienced so I can show you how to get through it. He said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be his righteousness. Said he was tempted in all points. All means all. He was tempted in all points, yet he sinned not. We don't have a high priest that had not been tempted in all points. He said, so he became us to reclaim us. You understand what he did? He became us so that he could reclaim us. He said, I want to snatch you back out of the hands of the enemy. And in order to do that, I got to get down and dirty with the enemy. I got to get down in the mud and miry clay from which you're in. And I have to meet you in your circumstance, wherever you are. I got to meet you right there so that I can save you. Are you following me? So God is for us. So he said, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Listen, there's a back and forth going here. Paul is talking about God, then he's talking about the other guy. He said, if God is for us, then who could be against us? Who is this that dares to stand up against God? See, he loves me. He loves me not. You guys get that? He loves me, but he loves me not. I'm talking about God loves me. The devil does not. The devil don't love anybody but himself. Are you following me? The devil is so slick. This is what he does. What he does when he gets you to sin. At least this is what he does when he wants to get me to sin. And this is how tricky he is, Lexi. He's real tricky. Before you sin, he's telling you it's okay for you to sin. Go ahead, you can get away with it. What they don't know won't hurt them. Just go ahead and do it. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. They can't tell you who to sock it to. Go ahead. Do your thing. Go ahead. Have your fun. It's all about do you. But this is what he does. He's like that buddy used to have that like to get you in trouble. He talks you into doing it. Go ahead, boys. Light that firecracker over Miss Johnson's house. I dare you to do it. I double dog dare you to do it. I triple dog dare you to do it. And then as soon as you do it and Sister Johnson kiss you, he did it. Follow me now. That's what the devil does. He said, go ahead, you can get away with it. But as soon as you do it, he said, God, look at him. Look at him sinning. I told you he wasn't no good. I told you. Listen, you don't believe me? Look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says. He said, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Because it's God who justifies. The devil wants to condemn you. It said, Revelations 12 and 10, it said that he is the accuser of the brethren that sits before the throne of God day and night. That means that God, that the devil talks to God at least twice a day. How often do you? The devil's talking to God at least twice a day about you, but you can't find 5 minutes. You hit the ground running. You ain't spoke to God all day. The devil said, look at him. He got up out of the bed. He ain't even thank you. He just went on about his day. He done stopped at Starbucks, but he didn't stop in your work. Listen, he done read everything. He read the news. He watched SportsCenter 4 times. It's just the same show, Brother Johnson. My wife gets on me because I watch the game, and then I watch the people talk about the game afterwards. It's like, baby, didn't you just watch the game? But I want to see what they have to say about the game that I just watched. Brothers, we do that. Hey, am I the only one that do that? We want to watch the whole game, quarter to quarter. You still watch all the highlights. Got to see the highlights. Something's wrong with us. But the Bible said that he's the accuser of the brethren. Accusing means that he brings a charge against you every day. He said, look at them. They're just little dirty sinners. I told you they wasn't no good. I told you that their whole Jesus thing wasn't going to work for them. I told you exactly what they were going to do. They were going to crucify him on that cross, and then they were going to go home because the party was over. I told you that's what they were going to do. I told you what they got to do. But guess who's else sitting there too? The Bible goes on to say, he said, Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. He says, he's sitting right at the right hand of the Father. Let me have one of these good new chairs you guys got. Amen. Jesus, the Bible said they're sitting at the right hand. So God's right there. So Jesus sitting at the right hand. So the devil's probably on the left side, and he's just telling God everything wrong. And Jesus sitting on the other side said, man, he just said, I don't pay him no attention. I covered that. He said, I did all, I got all that. Said, don't worry about anything he's talking about. Listen, God can't even hear the devil talking. The devil just talking and yapping and yapping. God can't even hear the devil talking because Jesus said, I got that. Jesus said, don't worry about that. I died on the cross for all that. Said, what's the payment? Oh, the payment is paid in full. Said, that's paid in full. Wait a minute, that was last week. But they did some stuff this week. He said, paid in full. Listen, I'll go ahead and charge it to my account. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. He said, go ahead and charge that to the blood account. See, you got the black card. Jesus got the red card. He got the red card. The red card had no limit. Said, no limits. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I'm in a singing mood this morning. Watch out now. Sister Ron came and just brought in a singing spirit in the house. Sing the whole world. But listen, he loves me, but he loves me not. The devil don't love you. And if anybody is in your camp that's trying to convince you to do something that goes against the word of God, does not love you either. They'll do you just like the devil do you. They'll tell you how good it is. Go ahead and do your thing. Go ahead and have your fun. It's you. Baby, you were born that way. You don't have to apologize for nothing. God made you that way. No, baby, God didn't make you that way. Sin made you that way. And just like the rest of us, you need salvation. That's the truth. That's what somebody that loves you tells you. He said, nah, baby, you weren't born that way. You certainly were not created that way. You were born that way because every man is a day old and full of trouble. David said, I broke the womb. He said, I was a sinner from the beginning. You understand? So all of us sinners, come on in. I got an email one time. Are gays and lesbians welcome at your church? Yep, they are. They certainly are. They can come on in with the rest of us sinners, the rest of us fornicators, the rest of us liars, the rest of us prideful people, the rest of us lusters, the rest of it. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about me. Yeah, they certainly are welcome. Just tell them it's a precursor. Just don't expect to stay that way. Just don't expect to stay that way. Come on now. I'm talking to you now. But someone who loves you tells you the truth about the situation. Because someone that loves you understands that all must give an account to God. That each and every one of us at the end of it all is going to have to stand before the throne of God, and he's going to have to give an explanation about our lives. And then your buddy's not going to be there. The buddy that told you to do it, he's not going to be there. He's going to hightail it out of there. You know when you did something wrong when you were a little kid, you did something wrong, maybe you busted a window or whatever, and you look around, all your friends gone. Where'd everybody go? See, I had to learn that when I moved to the hood. I had to learn the hood rules. When we run, you run. See, I didn't know that at first. I didn't know that, Aaron. I didn't know that at first. When we run, I was a little light brother. You know what I mean? I didn't know. I didn't have all that experience yet. So I didn't want to stand here and take responsibility for the window. I was raised to take responsibility for that window. And I'm standing there, and I look around, everybody else gone. So it took me a couple of times to realize when they run, you supposed to run. Brother, don't look back. What you looking back for? Come on. Can I get a witness? Am I the only one? Am I the only one? You better run. But look, friend, he doesn't love you. Why I say he doesn't love you? He said that who is he who condemns? Friends, we have to understand what's happening when someone brings correction our way. First, you need to consider the source. This is why the Bible tells us, and me and the brother was talking about this yesterday, that's why the Bible tells us, he says, first remove the speck in your own eyes, so then you'll be able to remove the speck in your brother's eyes. Listen, some of you guys may not recognize that passage of Scripture, but it begins like this, judge not lest ye be judged. See, we like to quote the first part, judge not lest we be judged, but then we read the whole context. God is not telling us not to judge. He's telling us not to condemn. Are you following me? This is Jesus talking. He says, first though, remove what you got going on. Take care of your situation before you go start trying to fix everybody else's situation. But if your situation is stable enough, see, we all sin and fall short of the glory. Situation is enough under control. Now you have the testimony that you can take to your friend and point out because they're your friend. You want to point out when they're going the wrong direction. If I go down the dark alley and get bit by a dog, and you see me on the way out of the alley and you're heading into the alley, if I'm your friend, I'm going to tell you, there's a dog down there. You don't want to go there. If I'm your friend, I'm going to do whatever I can to keep you from going there. I'm going to block you out. Can somebody teach the Lakers how to box out? Because they're not boxing out right now. Why you let Jason wear a Clipper t-shirt over here? I'm going to sit him on the front row. He know that we put Clipper fans on the back seats. But if you have a true friend, they're going to tell you, don't do that. Don't do it. You don't want to do that. There's a dog down there. And some of us, we're letting our friends go to hell because we're scared to confront them. We're so scared of conflict, we don't want to deal with any, oh, well, they might not be my friend no more. So what? You still have a friend in Jesus. And if you let them go and let God, you'll see that they may just come back to you. Because they'll remember that you were the one that told me what I needed to hear when I needed to hear it. About the truth of God. While all those other folks were telling me to go this way, they're nowhere to be found now. They'll know who to come back to. That you were the one who was stable. You were the one that was truthful to me. You were the one that showed me the real love that the gospel talks about. Amen. So he loves you, but he loves you not. The other guy, he doesn't love you. He likes to convince you that he loves you. Oh, it's all about love, man. It's all good. It's fine. But as soon as you commit that sin, as soon as you go down that road, he'll be the first one to abandon you. But my Bible said that Jesus said that I will never leave you or forsake you. Said, I will never leave you fatherless. Are you following me? That's the true love. That's God's everlasting love. And then we come to the point to find out that God loves us. So we say, he loves me with a question mark. Because some of us, we question whether God really loves us. Say, God loves me. Does he know me? Yeah, he know you. He knows everything about you. Talked about last week how the Bible said that God has numbered the hairs on your head. That means that he not only counted them, he actually placed a number to each individual one. You understand? It's hard enough to count the hairs on a person's head. That's basically impossible to do. Amen? You know, one, two, by the time I get to 10, I'm through. Cheryl, one, two, yeah, man, forget it. The Bible said that he numbers them. That means you say, when you ask God, well, where is 1,256? He says right there. What about 200,764? It's over there on the left side by the ear. That's how well God knows you. For us, hair may be even an insignificant thing. I mean, you leave in the morning, you got hair in the seat, you ain't thinking about that or whatever. You might have some hair. You're not paying attention to any of that. God said, I care about each one of those hairs on your head. That's how much I love you. That's the depth of my love. That's the width of how much I love you. That's how much I care about you. That I even care about the hairs on your head. Are you following me? That's how much he loves us. The other guy don't love us like that. The other guy may lust us, but he don't love us. He'll hang with you as long as he can get something from you. Sisters, you know what I'm talking about. He'll hang around as long as he can get something from you, but when you cut it off, then they might disappear or go find another. Are you following me? See, that's what a luster does. Oh, but he loves me, mommy. He loves me, daddy. But he's trying to convince you to go against your father's and mother's will. Come on, young ladies. Come on, young ladies. He's trying to keep you out past 10. He know your dad said to have you back by 10, and he's trying to convince you to stay past 10. That's not love. That's lust. Nobody want to hear that one. Nobody want to hear that. I guess I better keep on moving. Better keep on moving. He said, but he loves us. And he goes on with the powerful scripture here in Romans 8:35. He says, so who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I love this verse. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Before he gets into the what's, he talks about the who. He says, who can separate us from the love of God? Who can divide me from God's love? Who can separate me from those deep, the deep depth of God's feelings toward me? God said he loves me. Who can come and break that up? He said, who can do this? Let me add to it. Who can do it successfully? No one. No one. So what can separate us from the love of God? He says, so trials. Ask yourself, do trials separate me from God? When I start to go through some stuff, is that when I stop going to church? You know, when I hit a little bump in the road or somebody brings a little conviction out of my way, a little correction or whatever, do I just give up and throw in the towel? When I'm persecuted, he said, does persecution separate you? When you get a little persecution, when somebody argues with you, when you want to talk about some of the issues of the day, they say, well, abortion should be a woman's choice. And you say, no, I think, you know, that everybody should have the opportunity of life. Oh, no, you're so old and all this stuff. Do you shrink back and say, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I guess you're kind of right. Yeah, I believe in pro-choice and pro-life. You can choose not to have sex with somebody that's not your husband, if you're not prepared to have a child and raise a child. That's a choice. But the choice should probably happen before. So once you make that bad choice, then you can make another choice. There are options. But what happens when your friends at, you know, at work or your friends at school, they get to talking about these topics, do you just sit there and be quiet, and you're scared to say anything because you're afraid they'll jump on you? You know, does that separate you from the love of God? It shouldn't. The Bible says you should have holy boldness, speaking the truth with love. Because if the salt loses the flavor, what good is the salt? Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You're supposed to shine and you're supposed to give the world flavor. And that's his word. He says, so tribulation shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine. You know, when you don't have enough in the cupboard, does that mean that you are separated from the love of God? Peril or the sword? What separates you from the love of God? And then he goes on and he said, but in all of these things, if you realize that you are sons, if you realize that you are heirs, then guess what? You are more than a conqueror. See, this is why I say, Sister Cheryl, that we shouldn't read scripture too fast. It doesn't say that we are conquerors. It says we're more than a conqueror. It doesn't say that we are a conqueror. Oh, you are Floyd Mayweather. No, you're not Floyd Mayweather. You're more than a Floyd Mayweather. You're more than a Muhammad Ali. You're more than a Genghis Khan. You're more than Alexander the Great. You're more than Hannibal. You're more than one of those. You're more than a conqueror in him. Yeah. See, that's where we got to get it, though. We got to get it that it's in him, not in ourselves. You know how we get in ourselves in a lot of trouble sometimes as Christians? We try to resist the devil because the word says so. The Bible said, resist the devil and he shall flee. And we wonder why he didn't go nowhere. I resisted you yesterday, you right back. What's going on? Because we didn't read the previous verse. It says, submit to God. Then resist the devil. Then he'll flee. See, because the devil don't recognize you. Said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? When we talk through the book of Acts, we talk about those sons of Sceva. They were trying to cast out demons, and they didn't realize that you can't cast out demons in your name. You need to cast them out in Jesus' name. Amen. They said they beat them up so bad, the demons jumped on them, and the dudes left naked. The Bible's funny, man. It's got some funny stuff in the Bible. You guys got to read it, man. It's just hilarious. So he says, listen, you are more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do more than you think. You can do more than you can imagine. Your vision's too small. You don't realize that you are victorious through him, but only through him. And when you recognize that it's through him, then you give the credit to him. That's what it's all about. He loves us. The other guy doesn't love us. But emphatically, Paul says, Paul is telling us that he loves us. And then what happens is, in Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul says, look, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, doesn't matter what's going on right now, no matter what's going to go around tomorrow, said no things to come. He said, whether I'm up or whether I'm down, no height nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The key word there is I am persuaded. That means I do believe. That means that I am thoroughly convinced that God loves me. And that's the hard part. We have to be convinced that God actually loves us. We have to be thoroughly persuaded, thoroughly convinced that God actually loves us. When we read John 3:16, we should just put our name there. For God so loved Chuck that he sent his only begotten son, that if Chuck believed in him, then Chuck should have everlasting life. Are you following me? You need to start putting your name in the scriptures and realize that this is a love letter that God is writing directly to you. And just plug your name right in. Paul said, it's not a matter of whether God loves you or not. It's a matter of whether you believe his love. Do you believe that he loves you? You know what that's called? That's called faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Being persuaded in the word of God means that you have faith in what it says. I'm so stupid. I actually believe what God said. Woo! I'm just a big old fool. I actually believe that this is, when I say this is the word of God before church, I actually believe what I'm saying. Can you believe that? You mean you believe that stuff? You believe that Jonah was in the belly of a big fish for 3 days? Yep, I certainly do. You believe that Moses parted the Red Sea? Yes, I certainly do. You believe he fed all those people with a number 16 Filet-O-Fish value meal? 5,000 on one occasion, 4,000 on another occasion, not counting women and children. There's no miss out. He said, and they had women and children. He just counted the men. So there were about 20,000 people ate off of that one value meal. You believe that? Yes, I certainly do. You believe that Christ went to the grave? He was stuck on that cross? That he actually died? It wasn't just a hoax that the apostles were trying to play off and they went and stole the body? You believe that an angel came and rolled over that big stone that nobody could push by themselves? And Jesus got up and walked out of there for 40 days and talked to all of these people? He made them, listen, Jesus liked fish. He made them a fish breakfast. I've never had fish for breakfast. You believe that? Yep, I certainly do. You believe that when Jesus had to pay his taxes, you had to have money to pay taxes, right? They don't ask taxes for people that don't have income. So Jesus probably wasn't as broke as we like to say. Oh, Jesus was broke. No, he wasn't. Why they asked him for taxes? So when he came time to pay his taxes, you believe he told Peter to go fishing and to catch a fish and then to get some money out the fish mouth? Can you believe that? Listen, I've been fishing a lot, and I haven't seen any money in the fish's mouth, not yet. Not yet, Brother John. I ain't seen it yet. But every fish I catch... I'm trying to catch me a largemouth bass. So I don't want the smallmouth, I want the largemouth bass because he got enough to hold. Woo, that's dollars. Deb, I actually believe that stuff, man. I actually believe that the Bible is the truth because, see, the alternative is even crazier. You believe that you're an accident? From a billion years ago, you know, they always said a long time ago that nobody was around to count, nobody can measure. Oh, that was about a billion years ago, and then there was this big bang. Yeah, I read about that. It's in the word of God. He said, and God said, and bang! It was. Big bang theory, baby. That's the big bang theory. Come on now, that's what you're talking about. Look, friends, listen. He loves you. The devil does not. The other guy wants to draw you away from God's word. He's been doing it from the very beginning. The moment he talked to Eve, he was trying to cause separation into a beautiful and perfect relationship that Eve and Adam shared with the Lord. The moment he enters in and plants a little seed of doubt, that's when sin enters the world. He's been doing the same trick over and over and over. What he did to Adam and Eve, he did to Sarah and Steve. And he continues to do it day after day in our lives, trying to convince us that it's a better way, that it's a new time, and we don't need all of that. Well, my Bible clearly said there is nothing new under the sun. There ain't no new sin. There's just new ways to sin. Come on now. He said, my Bible said that the word of God is true and it stands forever. He said, the grass may wither, the flowers may fade, but the word of God standeth forever. How long is forever? Oh, come on now. Give the Lord a hand praise. Everybody resting to their feet. Everyone to their feet.